Well, before we have our next Bible reading, just wanted to introduce the sermon a little bit. So, does anyone here like to learn new hobbies? Yeah. Has anyone got anything that they're interested in learning about this year? Anyone? Yep.
Welding.
You've done some welding, haven't you, Ed? Right, so you could talk to Ed about welding. Anyone else? Sewing. Well, you could talk to Nola about sewing. She knows a bit about sewing. A little bit. And Cindy's pretty good at sewing too. Sometimes I tell her things and she goes, "Sew?" Right, yes. That's one for me, right. She doesn't really. That was a joke, that one. Anyone else want to learn things? Well, look, if I wanted to learn how to keep a bishop in order, I would go to Sarah. Right? She's the bishop's executive assistant. If I wanted to learn how to do a sound desk at the back of the church, and I'm hoping that there are some people who want to learn that soon, I would go to Francis and say, "How do I do that?" If I wanted to learn about pottery, I would come and talk to John, or how to make it, wouldn't I? I'd be in a good spot, wouldn't I? If I wanted to know how to market an event, I'd come and see Nigel. I would. If I wanted to learn about rivers, I would talk to Peter. If I wanted to learn about building, I'd come to this row and talk to either of these blokes. And if I wanted to learn about cooking or taking organs out of people, or if I wanted to learn about gardening, I'd go see Andrew Plant. That's another joke. I wouldn't see him about plants at all. Why would I go to those people? Because they are experts in those things. And when we see experts, if we want to do what they do, we say, "How do you do that? Can you show me?" Let's have our next reading.
The second reading is from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through to 13, and it's on page 1042 of your church Bibles. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we think about this passage from Luke, may you enliven it to us. Help us understand it and put it into action, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the disciples saw Jesus, obviously so many different times, praying. They saw him praying with no doubt great fervour, with great effectiveness, and with great connection to the Father. Seeing that, they say, teach us how to pray. We might just go to Google if we want to find stuff and type in, and you can look up all sorts of things to find out how to do all sorts of things. Another way you might do it is go to the Dummies book. Well, if they had them back then, no doubt the disciples would have wanted to find out what it was that Jesus did and hope that he'd written a Dummies book on how to pray. So rather than prayer for dummies, though, we're going prayer for the disciples. And Jesus was keen to teach the disciples how to pray. And I think for many of us, we have that same question. How do we do it? Many of us feel like non-experts, amateurs in prayer. We're not sure how to go about it. That's not how Jesus wants it. That's not how the Father wants it. They want us to be in relationship with them. They want us to feel confident to pray. Now, let me just say one thing. You might be an expert in prayer, and yet be so simple in what you say. Your prayer from being a novice to being an expert may not change much, but you knowing that you can come to God, if that's changed and you enter boldly and say the same thing, your prayer life will be very different. Because if you come into prayer wondering whether you should even be doing it, you won't get the benefits of prayer. You won't get the comfort. You won't get the knowledge that you've just been into the throne room. You'll be wondering, have I been heard? Do you even hear me, God? But if you're an expert in prayer, you know that you can boldly go to the Father and you can leave your requests there with him and that he's heard you. So in response to the disciples asking Jesus how to pray, teach us, they said. And that's the job of disciples, to learn from the Master. That's our job, to learn from the Master. So I pray today we will learn from the Master as we pray. Let's learn from the expert. So, what did Jesus pray? Father. Doesn't that ooze of relationship? Now, I know there may be some people here who the name Father actually makes you step back. If that's the case, I want you to hear that Jesus is telling us it's all about relationship with God. That he wants you to be close to him and actually interacting. And that we have a place in the family. It's all about relationship. It's not about, like when you go to Centrelink, sorry for those who work at Centrelink, and you've got a customer reference number, put in your request and we'll get to it in line. That's not the way we can interact with God. It's a relationship of love and care. Jesus wants us to know that we can approach boldly because that love is there for us. Hallowed be your name. That speaks of reverence. The Ten Commandments as well tell us not to take the Lord's name in vain. So we know that his name is holy, that there is a reverence when we're interacting with God. But it's not just God's name that's holy. He is holy. So this gives us an indication that prayer, even though it's relational, it shouldn't just be flippant or casual as you like, because we are entering into the holy place, a relational holy place when we pray. We also need to keep in mind that God is not to be trifled with. Though he is our Father, though he is loving, he's also holy. Remember in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, when Mr. Tumnus right at the end is looking out as Aslan's walking away and Lucy was a bit scared, and Mr. Tumnus said, "Oh, he's coming back, but he's not a tame lion," which was very true of Aslan. And Lucy said, "But he is good." And here's this tension that we have with God, like with Aslan, that although he's good, very good, he's not tame either. Therefore, there needs to be an element of reverence as we pray. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Jesus teaches us to refocus from the hierarchy of desires that we have, which can be skewed to darkness, as we saw from this kid spot today. We've got elements of darkness within our hearts too. And this Lord's Prayer helps us to refocus to saying, "God, we want your kingdom here. Not my hierarchy. We want your life to be living among us." In Mark, Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is what we as a church, as a group of disciples, pray. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. I think for the most part in the West, we lose this part of the prayer because we're so self-sufficient. Or we seem to be, don't we? If you've read the article that Karen wrote this week, we have so many resources that we use that it actually helps, it actually not helps us, it causes us to not seek God in prayer for what we need each day, because we've got it all there, and then we somehow think that we've made it ourselves. But this is such an important thing for us to be able to do, is to rely on the Father to give us what we need, not what we want. Jesus tells us to forgive us our sin. Just this morning as I was walking on the way to church, I said to one of the children, who will be unnamed today, "Go pick this chair up, put it in the car. Oh, I've got to get my hat." "No, I want you to do this, then you can go get your hat." Well, very clear instructions. They were not adhered to at all. 10 minutes later, the hat was on, out the front, and all the chairs were still sitting there. And it was really interesting in the moment where I'm like, what's annoying me the most here? It's that I've given a really clear instruction and he hasn't listened. I said he, that narrows it down to three, right? You probably just look at the kid who's got the hat on later on, right? Right. Naughty boy. No. Anyway, what upset me was that he disregarded me. I couldn't care less about the hat, really. It was that I was disregarded. And this is where God has given us so many clear instructions on how to live. And they're good instructions because they help us stop bumping into each other and hurting each other and hurting ourselves and hurting our relationship with here. But so many times we blatantly disregard what we've been told. And so this prayer, forgive us our sins, helps us to realign ourselves with him. And to know that, you know, when we're praying, everything that might have kept us away from God is now gone. And we can be in prayer, enjoying it, and not being afraid, wondering if we're going to get ecky thumped because God's angry at us. No, we can be there and rest in this prayer because we're forgiven. And then we can have a go at trying to listen again. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. These prayers are all realigning us back to what's in heaven. One of the other translations of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this prayer is refocusing us on things that will be in heaven. That when the end comes, all the relationships that have been broken will be restored. And what we're praying in the Lord's Prayer as we pray, we're actually saying, help me live in that day where things will be set right. Help me try and enact it now. Help me to let go of this anger or revenge that I'm seeking. Help me give that to you. Let me let it go. And that's really what forgiveness is about, letting something go and letting God have control of it now rather than ourselves. Restoration is not always possible. It's not always possible this side of glory. But it's something that Jesus longs for. These two things here, if that prayer was answered, that God enabled us to do that, to be forgiven and know it, and for us to forgive others, so much in our world would be better. Don't you know that? So much in our world would be better. But we're just so keen to hang on to our grudges, to not let them go. It's hard for us to acknowledge that I'm the problem. And so much of the time we are. So much of the time I am. This prayer helps us to get things into perspective. Lead us not into temptation. We know God doesn't want us to be tempted, so it's really this prayer, this last bit, is all about testing that the devil would bring. Testing to undo us. Testing to turn us away from God. And what Jesus wants us to be praying is to resist. God, help us to resist the evil one. And we're told clearly in the scriptures, in 1 Peter, resist the devil and he must flee. Jesus' own prayer was, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That we can pray this with confidence, that God, you please keep us safe in the time of testing. When our relationship with God is being tested, keep us strong. So there's the Lord's Prayer. Now, it can be prayed just straight through. So if you're a novice in prayer, and you're in a prayer meeting and we say, let's pray. And if one person cranks out the Lord's Prayer, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the next person next to them cranks this prayer out, and we have a whole prayer meeting with 20 people praying this prayer one after the other. It would be an awesome prayer meeting. Right? So if you get to a prayer meeting with other people and you pray this, good on you. Right? Good on you. That is great. That's the place you can start. So that would be the Lord's Prayer in repetition. We're repeating as it is because that's how we know it. And if you're not confident, that's a perfect place to start. The Lord's Prayer could also be more like a template, where if you imagine each one of those lines like a scroll that gets rolled out, and you could pray Father, and you could say, Father God, you are so kind, you're my rock, you're my shield, you're my fortress, all of these things, so that you could describe God more, or hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You could pray like a scroll on that next line. Your kingdom come. Lord, bring it here now, we pray. As you say things are, bring it here. Each one of those lines you could use to fill out. It's a great way to pray as a template. The other thing it's helpful, I find it helpful, is like a strainer. So if I find myself praying, Lord, pay that person back, bring them down, I hope that I can run into their car accidentally. Right, that would strain through that I shouldn't be praying that, right? Now, in the Psalms, you might want to express that to God sometimes, but as you pray, the Lord's Prayer should help you come back around to a more balanced place to say, Lord, you know how upset I am, and I want to give revenge. You know better than me. Lord, have your way. As a strainer, the Lord's Prayer can be, if we're feeling like we're going to be led into temptation or testing and about to fall, we can pray this prayer and say, no, we're told that we're not going to be led into this and we can stand strong. If we wonder whether we can approach God, this can be like a strainer and tell us, well, we can. Actually, that thought should go because we're told, Father, Father, I can come close to God. Repetition, a template, or a strainer, or all of them, the Lord's Prayer can be used as. At the end of this passage, I'm not going to stop on it, I'm just going to say it, that Jesus told the disciples to persist, like the person coming and knocking at the door at night, persist and be bold, and then to ask, seek, and knock. Come to God with your requests. He wants you close. He wants to hear what you want to ask, and he has your good in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our teacher. We are the students. May we put into practice the things that we've learnt from you today. Thank you for showing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.